According to the Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center, there are now more than 3.7 million cases of COVID-19 in the United States. And so far, more than 140,000 people have died. Since the beginning of the pandemic, federal agencies have been split on how to stop the spread of the virus. And last week, that division reached a fever pitch. The Trump administration ordered hospitals to begin reporting COVID-19 data directly to the Department of Health and Human Services, bypassing the Centers for Disease Control. And although the CDC has continued to publish recommendations to stop the spread of the virus, the Trump administration has implicitly and explicitly defied the CDC's recommendations. For example, it wasn't until last week that the president was first seen wearing a mask in public, which has been proven to help mitigate the spread of the virus. Divisions between the White House and the CDC and how they've shaped the direction of the pandemic is where we start today. For more, I'm joined by Dan Diamond, a political reporter tracking health care under the Trump administration. Dan, great to have you back on the show.
Tanzina, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And also on the line, we have Dr. Howard Koh, former Assistant Secretary for Health in the Obama administration and a professor at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Dr. Koh, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Dan, the White House says it wants to streamline data gathering. Tell us why they say they want a direct access to this data from hospitals, bypassing the CDC. Is it about streamlining?
I think that is a legitimate explanation, Tanzina. More than 3 months ago, the Trump administration gave hospitals a choice of where to submit data about the coronavirus to their state. They could submit it to an outside vendor, or they could submit it to the CDC's own long-running network of healthcare information. But inside the administration, that patchwork response of different submission processes, it led to data gaps, it led to some confusion. And frankly, some hospitals found that confusing too and asked for a more simplified process. The Trump administration behind the scenes has been going back and forth with the CDC over what its data system could collect. CDC was given a new mandate to provide more data. Senior officials there said they couldn't do it on the timeline that the Trump administration wanted. So about 10 days ago, the administration said they were going to simplify the process. Hospitals did not need to report data just to the CDC or report data to the CDC anymore at all, but needed to keep reporting data to these other vendors. And that announcement has sparked a wave of concern that the Trump administration, by going around the CDC, public health experts wouldn't have access to the data, or worse, that the White House would find ways to modify it.
Dr. Koh, you have been directly involved with these organizations. Can you give us a sense for how your assessment of the Trump administration's decision to essentially bypass the CDC, and historically, whether or not that's how data has flowed, I should say, from hospitals?
Well, the CDC is the premier public health agency in the country and one of the premier public health agencies in the world. And in a time of public health crisis, we always rely on the CDC for data collection, analysis, guidance, and coordination of a response. As you have already noted, through this pandemic, which is at 6 months and counting, there have been a number of instances where the CDC has been sidelined or even, frankly, bypassed. So in a time of a pandemic, it's critically important to try to update data collection and streamline it, as Dan has described. That's a legitimate issue, but to do it so abruptly and in such a surprising fashion has raised so many questions about access, availability, transparency, accountability. This is unfortunately yet another example where there's so much confusion about what a national response can and should be. We really need, in this time of crisis, with the pandemic spinning out of control, to unify our efforts as a nation going forward, and that means putting the CDC front and center.
Well, apparently that doesn't seem to be happening here. Dan, I'm wondering if you can give us a sense about these fissures and this tension between the CDC and the Agency for Health and Human Services and the White House. When did we start to begin to see tensions? Was it at the very beginning of the pandemic response?
It was quite early, Tanzina. The Trump administration soured on the CDC months ago for a number of reasons. I think first, it's important for listeners to know the CDC is not led overwhelmingly by political appointees. I'm here in Washington, D.C. This is where the headquarters of the health department is located. The CDC is down in Atlanta. Historically, there have only been a few political appointees who are sent down to administer the agency, the director, obviously, and a few other senior folks, but it is dominated by career scientists. And those career scientists, early in the outbreak, were issuing warnings that were at times more dire than the warnings that the White House itself wanted to put out. And that created some public consternation with messages not aligned between the CDC and the health department, HHS, but also the president and the White House were concerned that the messages were too dire, too severe, at a point in the outbreak where the White House did not want that message that the coronavirus could be as deadly as it turned out to be, reaching the American public. At the same time, the CDC did mess up early in the response. There was a responsibility by the CDC to get testing out to public health laboratories around the country. Those tests were flawed, as we came to learn, and that's one reason why we were caught flat-footed and did not have visibility into the coronavirus spread across February and into March. It wasn't the only reason, but it was a very big reason. And combined with those factors, I think the director of the CDC, again, a political appointee, a man named Robert Redfield, is widely seen inside the Trump administration as a fairly weak leader, someone who is not skilled in the bureaucratic infighting, and especially the vicious infighting that marks the Trump administration. So when leaders are around the table in the White House arguing for their various portfolios, he is not the most effective leader compared to some of his rivals representing either parts of the health department like HHS or other parts of the administration like the economic branch that has come to define so much of the past few weeks of the White House response.
Dr. Koh, I'd love to get your thoughts there on CDC Director Redfield, who has not, to Dan's point, been particularly visible during the crisis really at all. You published an op-ed in CNN on Friday calling for you want to see more daily briefings and you want to see the public health experts at the forefront. But we do have a coronavirus task force. Tell us what you think about Redfield's sort of low profile and whether the coronavirus task force is actually doing what it's what you're asking to be done here.
Well, in the early days of the pandemic, we had daily briefings in the White House coronavirus task force. And even though those were far from perfect, it was a way for the American public to hear daily from our government leaders about the status of the pandemic, the trends, the evolving science, and what we needed to do to protect ourselves going forward. As we all know, we have not heard from that task force publicly in briefings in quite a while. And in my view, we need to restart those immediately and show the American people that our nation is tackling this pandemic of our lifetime head on, and it needs to feature top public health officials. Dr. Fauci, of course, should be front and center. Dr. Redfield is a very respected scientist. He has been low profile, but he needs to be more front and center right now. And he also represents thousands of CDC professionals who have tackled issues like Ebola and Zika and H1N1. When I was there in 2009 as assistant secretary, I worked closely with the CDC on that major challenge. So this is a time where we need more coordination, more leadership from the White House Coronavirus Task Force, and putting the CDC director and Dr. Fauci back in the center of communication going forward.
Dr. Koh, are you concerned about the fact that this data, at least as I understand it, will not be made available to the public?
Oh, we need that information transparent immediately. And there's, again, as Dan has pointed out, lots of questions about exactly what the motivations were for this change and how it's going to roll out. We need transparency. We need accountability. And the data right now are going in the wrong direction. That's disturbing for everybody. But the way to respond is to unveil this head on and show the American public that we are confronting this issue as a nation and as a public health community. Right now, there is no public attention to this through a daily briefing. And we hear from our health officials in only scattered fashion, and that's not the way to do it. We are seeing a challenge of our lifetime. Our country is in the public health fight of our lifetime. So we have to start by looking at the data and then looking at the information and then formulating guidance and communicating it to the American people so we can get this crisis behind us.
Dan, last week, former heads of the CDC wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post that criticized the Trump administration for, quote, politicizing science. Have we seen the CDC politicized in this way, Dan?
Well, I do think that the warning that public health should not be politicized is very welcome. We've seen the president repeatedly attack Dr. Fauci. His allies work to undermine Dr. Fauci. The CDC, to Dr. Koh's point, has not been as visible. In addition to the White House coronavirus briefing, the CDC's own briefings were put on ice for a number of months. So it is a concerning time when it comes to a simplified public health message with the public health experts in the foreground. I do think it's important to note, Tanzina, about the data. My sources and my colleagues on the Politico story who worked with me last week, we came to believe that a lot of the outrage over the missing data was, while well-intended, perhaps outpacing the facts on the ground, and that there is a good chance that the data that is now being rerouted will be made available in the coming days. So while the CDC is absolutely an agency that has been under public pressure, under private pressure from political appointees, some of the concerns don't quite map to what we have found in our reporting. And I think that the tension between the CDC and the rest of the federal government, that is a telling fissure in that during a pandemic, you don't want to see these sorts of fights. But at the same time, some of the fights, as they've spilled into the press, are not quite what's happening behind the scenes.
You're suggesting that there's better cooperation between the CDC and the Trump administration, or worse?
Well, definitely not better. I mean, it's in a bad way. And I think Dr. Koh would say that during the Obama administration, the tensions between the different parts of the agencies were not like we see today, where there are stories nearly every day of officials who are fighting over territory or turf, which is bad at any moment, but certainly not something you want during a historic pandemic. At the same time, some of the concerns about what has happened to the CDC, my colleagues and I believe, are somewhat misstated. For instance, there were dashboards that the CDC took down last week. There was widespread concern that the Trump administration, the White House, had ordered these dashboards taken down, but my colleagues and I found it was the CDC itself that took those dashboards down. And some officials said that was done out of pique and concern that they weren't going to be able to control the data the way that they wanted.
Dan Diamond is a reporter with Politico, and Dr. Howard Koh, a public health expert at Harvard University. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.